Clinton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's good to see each and every one of you today, because I'm telling you that the Lord is going to do something for you today. You're going to be touched, and God is going to touch your life today, because that is just who He is and how He does things. I hope you've enjoyed the last couple of days there at the end of last week, where we had Brother Chris here, and he'll be here one more night tonight. And we are just believing God to continue to touch people and do great things. Amen?
Yes.
So this morning, I just want you to be glad to be in the house of God. Amen? David said that he would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of God than anything. And that was coming from a great king, just because he wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. And I pray that that's how we are and how we think and who we are. And this morning, let's just worship God and let His presence come into this place. And let Him do what He wants to do today. Amen? Amen.
Place to hide this room. This battle.
Spirit, we are free to the fullness. forever. Jesus has overcome. Declaring now together, most high and lifted up, be glorified forever. Jesus has overcome. Declaring now together, most high and lifted up, be glorified.
Do. Redeemer. He's a miracle worker this morning. He's not a respecter of persons. So we're going to tell him, God, we're here. We're available this morning. You know, God's a gentleman. He says he stands at the door and he knocks. So God, we just ask you to invade us this morning. Invade every area of our lives today. God, even the stuff that we swept under the rug. God, we ask you to clean us. God, we ask for miracles, deliverance, freedom this morning in this house today. And we make ourselves open. dresses move. Thank you. Some of you in this presence, God says, just needs to breathe deep. Just breathe me in. I'm here. I've seen your pains. I've seen your struggles. I've seen your tears. I've seen your frustrations. I've seen every battle. And I'm here. And I'm here. Did I not tell you that there may be afflictions, that there was going to be afflictions, but I'd see you through them all? So my presence is here to refresh and strengthen, heal, bind back together families that have been separated, restore relationships that have broken because of the enemy that I never meant to be broken in your life. I'm going to restore those. And some of you have relationships that were never meant to be your relationship. And I'm going to break those. If you just understood how much I love you, you would understand that when these times come, you would rest in me. You would just sit back and breathe and praise me. If you could see the end, the beginning to the end like I can, you would know that in the end, if you keep your focus on me, I make everything turn around for your good. You're my child. You're my child. Why would I not make everything turn around for your good? Just keep your focus on me. Don't allow the enemy's voice in these times to draw you off. Does not my word say that those that can be shaken will be shaken? You know. You know these are attacks of the enemy, so don't be shaken. Hold tight to me. Hold tight to me. Hallelujah.
God's been dealing with me through the whole worship. There's people here that took the time, years over years, just building these walls with bricks, putting walls up. Brick by brick, you've took time to build the walls so nobody could come close. God's wanting you to know the bricks don't, or the walls come down much quicker than you have built them. That all it takes is you getting with God and telling him, I don't want these walls anymore. And all he will do is walk in and kick the wall down. And you will be allowed, be able to accept him in, and these people that love you and want to help you, be able to accept them in to help you. And I just want to encourage you. Like I said, it don't take much to tear these walls back down. But don't just keep putting bricks back up. It's your turn to knock the walls down.
Amen. Quit looking back. Basically, Amen. Quit looking back. He has delivered you. He has set you free. And don't you allow the enemy to come and bring it back on you, because the Bible says be careful.
Amen.
Right? Lest you be all cleaned up and you allow that thing that you've been delivered from to come back. Seven more stronger than he's Ooh. Coming back with it.
Amen.
And we ain't dealing with that. Amen?
Amen.
We are going to push forward and push in and allow God
Amen.
To be our victor.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because he is our victor.
He is our victor.
Amen.
Amen. Woo, babe, we've had some great services, haven't
yes,
we?
Yes, we've had some really good services.
If you have not been here, then we encourage you to come tonight at 6:30 yep. for Dr. Christy Amico. I just heard a testimony. He left. But from Steve, that his mother-in-law, Sharon's mom, was prayed over for Lyme disease, and she went back and got it tested. In the office, they said it was still in there, but it could be because it was in her system. So they sent a test to the sample to the CDC, and it came back 100% negative. Telling you what.
Tell me God isn't real. Tell me God doesn't do it and God doesn't heal today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are all, I can't even tell you, like I can, well I can, but it'd take all day. But remember when we were in Jamaica?
Oh yeah.
I'm just going to give you one report, one testimony of mine. This is just one of many that God has done for me. But we were in Jamaica for a missions trip. And somehow, this was when we were way younger.
Yeah.
Somehow I allowed these people to talk me into racing Phil. I was in much better shape back then. I wouldn't have ran if I was like this. I looked way better back then. But
oh, you look beautiful today. Baby.
They talked me into racing Phil on the streets that you think we have potholes. Oh, sister. Whew. Where our potholes aren't potholes compared to over there. Our potholes are their pavement. And our pavement is their potholes. Like, that's how little. So yeah. I'm like, you don't let pride get in there, because they talked me up in my head that I could beat this man. And I already think I can beat him. Like, in a fight, anything. My head already thinks this. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I think I'm invincible sometimes. But yeah. So we went out there and we started racing. But I had it in my head. I knew that how fast he is. So I knew I wasn't going to beat him. So I went, I was going halfway, and I was going to turn around and come back. Yes, I was going to cheat. And so I did, and my feet must have got moving faster than my body or yeah. something, and I fell. Landed on this arm, rolled, and just kept rolling. My leg was all tore up. My face was tore up. But there was something sticking, not through the skin, but you could see it on the skin, that my bone was sticking out. And I couldn't move my arm at all. It was horrible. And I knew it was broke, because if you've ever broke a bone, you get sick immediately. Like yeah. this feeling comes over you, not just the pain, but there's something that comes over your body immediately, like, oh no. So there was 12 of us there at that time. And the whole group gathered around, plus the people yeah. that we were there with, yeah. gathered around, they all prayed over me. And so I'm like just trying to go in, and I'm still hurting. When they prayed, I'm still hurting. And we go in, and I go into the shower to get all the dirt off, because I'm literally, yeah. all of this blood has got yeah. stuff in it. And so as I'm in there, I can't move. So he's got to help me, because I just can't move my arm at all. And I said, God, they prayed over me. I thought you healed me. Because I'm telling you, I believe that if we pray, I'm healed. Like, that's the way I've always said it. Because when I got saved and they told me that peace would come in when I got saved, it came in immediately.
Yeah.
There were things that God did for me immediately on me receiving him as my Lord and Savior that I couldn't.
Yeah.
I can't even put into words.
Yep.
And so I believed God. I just believed him. And so he said, many of you can say no. God, this is how he spoke to me. I did. Now move it. Oh, okay, God. So it was really stiff. There's a little bit of pain in it. And all of a sudden, this arm that I could not move at all started stretching out and started lifting.
And the bump went away.
The bump was completely gone. And I think I was even helping.
Yeah.
Like, we had to get up at 2:30 that morning, get yeah. to the airport to come home. And I was even lifting the suitcases.
Lifting luggage.
And putting luggages in the van. I'm telling you, don't tell me God can't do it. Because I've seen too much that says he can. Amen? So do not miss tonight. Do not miss tonight. It's going to be an amazing time in the Lord. He's coming to heal, to fix up. Not just, we think of healing sometimes as just bodily things.
Physical
things.
No.
But mentally, he's
mentally,
coming to heal too.
Emotionally.
Amen?
Yep. Amen.
Amen. And we have some stuff coming up. So Easter Sunday.
Yes, we have two services, which are going to be powerful and wonderful.
Yes.
We start our first service at 7:30, and then we'll have our normal 10 o'clock service. And in between, we're going to have some food. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! You guys know that's one of my big highlights from being saved was I was reading the Bible, and I saw that Jesus fed the disciples fish on the seashore, and I said, my goodness, I get saved, I get peace, and all this, and I get to eat. Man, salvation is for me, and it's stuck. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So we got that coming up.
Yes, and then remember, women, May 7th, here at the church at 9, we're going to have our first women's breakfast Bible study. And our first Bible study teacher is going to be Marie Miller. It's going to be a blessing. So, and just be prepared, women, because whoever the next one will be will be picked out of that meeting. So it's going to be all of us that does the Bible study. Every month is going to be somebody different bringing it. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all have a lot to say. God has put lots of stuff inside of you. And I want to hear it. I want to learn from you. Amen? I want to hear what you have to say and what you've been through and how God brought you through what you've been through. Amen? Yep. We women need to iron sharpens iron. You know?
Yes, it does.
So I don't know what the men are going to do. Men, I'm sorry.
We're going to have a breakfast soon.
Soon?
We just got to put a date on it.
Okay.
Which we're going to do here probably this week.
Yes, and we do have more dates coming at you in a calendar coming at you. So,
amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we're probably going to let the children get ready to go to children's church. Hallelujah. I know they'll be excited about that. Hallelujah. And then what we're going to do is today for the offering, you know, the Bible says this, that it's to be found among stewards, that we find ourselves to be faithful. Amen? And when it talks about us being faithful, it means that we want to be consistent and purposeful in everything that we do. Amen? And so when we come together and we get an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings, what? Happy birthday to you. Well, I guess I didn't do that one well, did I? I guess I'm not that good at reading lips. I guess I got to get better at it. I start thinking about kisses when I see them lips moving. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So anyhow, it is important among stewards to be found faithful. And what I want you to really do is that when it comes to your tithe and offering, this is an undertaking that you need to journey through the Bible and see what you believe and get it in your heart and get your faith stirred so that you will be a person that gives faithfully to the Lord because you believe in what he says. In the Bible, he says that he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. In the Bible, he says that he will take what you've given him, and he will cause it to be pressed down and shaking up and running over, and he will give back to you. And that these are things that God loves to do because he's in relationship with you. And I want you to know that I really like the idea of the Lord giving you an opportunity to let your faith be released. And when you give, supernaturally, God can touch what you have naturally given him. And this is how he works in our life, okay? So this morning, I'm going to pray over our tithe and offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. And God, as people take this opportunity to be faithful and to sow, God, you take this opportunity to see what they're giving. And God, you bless them and you protect them. God, I thank you that you rebuke the devourer on their behalf, God. I thank you that you cancel debt. I thank you that you bring money and resources into them from places that they never even expected to receive. And God, I just declare your blessing upon your people today, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Thank you. Praise God. Well, I want to welcome you to Palm Sunday. And I thank God that this is a week before we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen. And this is a week before the most important day that mankind has ever experienced. And that's the day that Jesus Christ rose out of the grave. Amen. It transformed our lives. It's changed things forever. And it's still changing things even right now as we speak. Amen. But I just thought that while we were sitting here on Palm Sunday the week before, I thought that we would look through a few things and just remember back some of the things that Christ went through to bring this thing to pass and to just help us have a resolve that we're never going to give up our faith and that we will walk with the Lord until that day comes for our either we go to the grave and we go up to see him or until the day of the rapture comes and he returns and we go to see him. Amen. But it says right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 2, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught as to why, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting on a donkey, and a colt and the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I want you to know something, that when Jesus came into the city, it was a shock to the Romans and to everybody around because of the following that was around him. And so when Jesus first came into the city, it was a shock to everybody because he came in well-established, well thought of, well looked upon. And it was only after this that they started to bring the accusations and the things against him because they became fearful of what he was doing and fearful of what was going on. And so there was a group of people that really celebrated Jesus. And then there was the big group that was really out to hate him and not love on him. And so these are things that I just want you to know were going on and going around with him that would be difficult for any of us to deal with. And I want you to know that in life for you as a believer, you're always going to have those people that support you, and then you're going to have those people that don't. And no matter what's going on and no matter what is going on in your life, it's going to be important that you hang with the people that support you and believe in you and know who you are and know what you stand for. And you're going to have to listen to that voice way more than you listen to any other voices that are going to come your way. Amen? Because when you set yourself to do something for God, you are going to have opposition. And when you set yourself to do the will of God, you're going to have opposition. People are going to come against you. And it's not always going to be easy, and not everybody is going to support you, even when you're making the right decision. Amen? I want you to know that people will be against you, and some will be for you, but you're going to have to be like Jesus was. Now, we're going to look here and see what it was like when him and his disciples were at the Last Supper here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. It says, now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with thy disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Wow. You know, by this time, the disciples had already understood that Jesus was going to be crucified. And they had come to the conclusion that they were going to lose their Savior and that it was going to be different than the way they thought it was going to be, because many at that time thought he was going to raise up and be a king on the earth like other kings. And he had to explain to them, no, my kingdom is not of this world, and I'm not of this place. In fact, we'll look at that just in a minute here, because he says something profound towards the end of this chapter that I want to share with us and just give you some insight into the power of God. But anyhow, it's interesting to me because all of the disciples said, is it I? Not just Jonah. They were all having fears. I mean, not just Judah. They were all having fears about... they were all having fears at this time. I want you to know that sometimes you might even doubt yourself or have fears about something going on, but this does not mean that you don't love God. It means that you're at a difficult point in your life and you've definitely got to hold on to God and not let go. But sometimes we'll condemn ourselves because we are having difficulty with the situation. But here we find out that all 12 of his disciples were having difficulty because every one of them said, is it I, Lord? And he said, no. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It should be good for him that if that man had never been born. Wow. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, and this is my body. And he took the bread, cup, and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I want you to know something, that Jesus spoke very sincerely to his disciples when he was here. And he spoke very straightforward to them. And it's interesting to me because when we read the Bible, I want you to know that we should read it in the context that this is our Lord and Savior speaking to us about the most important words he could give us before he goes up. Not just the day of the Last Supper. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus, when he's preaching and speaking, he's given us words that are for our life. In fact, in John chapter 6:63, it says, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And see, when you read this scriptures, you should read them in context of a man who knows he's going to die and leave his people soon. And he knew he was going to go up to heaven and not be with them in person soon. And so his words that he was speaking were intended to be life messages that we could live by forever. Amen? And so one thing we need to know as believers is that the word of God is a life message to you. It is the life message to you. And it is the word that should be in our life every day and in our heart every day, because these are Jesus's life words to us. Amen? When he says that he will not leave us or forsake us, this is a life word for him. Amen? When Jesus says he will heal you, this is a life word for him to you. And I want you to know that the Lord says that you can ask anything in my name. And the Lord says that he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he will do for all. Amen? So if we have a need from the Lord, we can be diligent to ask him, and he will make certain that he helps us and does right then and there those things that we have need of. And I just want to show you later in this same scripture where the Lord was taken captive. I just want to read something to you. And it says in verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, friend, Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Okay, in another gospel, that lets us know that it was Peter that smote off the ear. And also, we see that Jesus restored and healed the ear and put the ear back on the man and told Peter that, no, this is not the way. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into this place, for all thy that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that this must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against me as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this is done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. I just wanted to bring attention to something here, that Jesus said he could call 12 legions of angels. Jesus went to the cross 100% by his own will to please God and to prove his love towards each one of us. He did not have to do it. And there was provision there for him not to go to the cross if he didn't want to go to the cross. And I also want you to know that in 2 Kings, it says that one angel came one night and had a situation where one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. One angel did that. And the Lord says he could have called 12 legions of angels. I'm telling you that he could have wiped out all of that whole city trying to do anything to hurt his son. But God withheld his hand, and Jesus withheld his tongue and didn't call for angels because they wanted to prove how much they loved you. Now, if the Lord was willing to do that for you then, how much more is he willing to do for you now? The Bible says that the Lord went to the cross for you when you were yet dead in your sins. We were yet without him, and he was willing to go to the cross. And now that we're saved, and now that he's our Lord and Savior, how much more so would God want to do for us? How much more so does God want to help us today when we reach out our hand and ask him, how much more is God wanting to do on your behalf if you reach towards him? Amen? But I just wanted you to see that on this time that Jesus was going through many different things, that he never took the easy way out. He never took the easy way out. In fact, I'm going to share with you a scripture right now that just shows us how difficult it was for Jesus to go through what he went through. And we know that Jesus went off 3 times to pray when he was off in the garden with his disciples before he even went to the cross and before he was even taken into custody. And it says that one of these times while he was praying, we're going to read in Luke 22:40, it says, and he was come into the place, and he said unto them, pray that you enter not in temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's case and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. I just want you to see something here, that Jesus went through something that no person was able to go through, especially on their own power. Amen? And it sees here that when Jesus was in his darkest hour here in the garden praying, and he said, Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, your will. It's at that time that the Lord God sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. See, I want you to know something, that the Lord sees right where you are, and he will send you the help you need even when you don't think you can make it through. Amen? And when you do something God's way, no matter how hard it gets, the Lord will strengthen you and will send you the help you need, just like he did Jesus. He sent Jesus this angel, and the angel strengthened him and got him ready to be able to withstand going through the cross and going through what he had to go through. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to read here in the book of John. And this is when Jesus was actually being already there, and they already had him, and Pilate was talking to him, and it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put them in a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands." Wow. I think sometimes we forget that part. That here was Jesus, and not only did they put that crown on him, but then they physically beat him. Another scripture in the book of Matthew 26 says, in 67 says, that not only did they smote him, but it says they spit on him and mocked him and made names of him and teased him and did all these things. Now, none of this was able to provoke Jesus to get off the path. I heard something on that one. You know, we have to be careful. Because if we're not careful, sometimes things will come along in our life and they can get us off the path. There are things that sometimes when we face and deal with them, sometimes here we're dealing with stuff, and guess what? We will fight it to a point. But then before you know it, we will allow stuff in this life to get us off the path. And I want to make sure that if Jesus not only went to the cross, and not only did he go to the cross, but before he even went to the cross, he was beaten and put a crown of thorns on him that cut into him and made him bleed and hurt him. And then he was beaten with stripes and done all this stuff, smacked and hit on and spit upon, and none of this was able to get him off the path, then we have to make sure that as Christians, we don't let ourselves get off the path. Amen. And it says that Pilate therefore went forth again, saying unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." So Pilate, the very man who was supposed to bring judgment against Christ and be willing to crucify him, brought him back to the people and said, "I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." So it's interesting that even though Pilate was the man who had the power to crucify Christ, when it came down to it, he said, "No, I'm going to give him back to you guys because I find no fault in him, and I'm not going to crucify him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Isn't that amazing? That Pilate was so touched by the experience he had that when he heard that this was the Son of God, it made him more afraid. And he was even more incessant that he was not going to touch him. And he went again in the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" he asked. But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not to me? Won't you answer me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." In other words, Jesus was saying, Pilate, we would not even be here if this was not a necessary part of the will of God to come to pass. He said, you'd have no power to do anything to me if it wasn't necessary for me to go to the cross. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let him go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew called Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? In other words, no, I'm not going to crucify him. The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Wow. Isn't that interesting? That they took Jesus and led him away. You know, I want to speak to you today because sometimes when it gets around Easter time, all we do is we celebrate the resurrection, which we will do next Sunday, and I'm always excited to do that. But also, sometimes I think we need to realize that sometimes when the Bible says that he suffered things just like we did, we need to know that he really did. You know, sometimes as people, we don't think that the Lord could really relate to our pain because he's God and because he's amazing, and he is all those things. But we can never deny the fact that he took the time to walk on this earth as a man just so he could always be proven to be able to say, yes, I do know your pain. I do know your anxiety when you go through it. I do know the pain, physical and mental pain, when you're dealing with it. I want you to know that I have understood it, and I overcame it, and you have the power to overcome. We overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? And we have power right now to know that the Lord went through these things just so he'd have a right to save you and I. Yes. Jesus was willing to go through what he went through so you and I could come and celebrate him and live a life that is reflective of him with his help on every day. And we need his help. Because the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver us from them all. Amen? Yes. And what that means is that in this life, in fact, another scripture even says in John 14, remember it says that in this life you will have tribulation or trouble, but be at peace because I have overcome this world. Yes. And I want you to know something that I feel like many of us need to know right now, that the Lord has overcome this world and he's overcome anything that would come upon us and try to hurt us and bring us down. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord our God is with us. You know? I want you to know that he suffered so much and was willing to take every stripe on his back, every pounding of the hammer that drove nails, every hit that they gave him, every time they spit in his face. Can you imagine Jesus spitting in his face and slapping him? And he had the resolve to say, even though I could call a herd, even though I could call legions of angels right now, I could just say, Father, and they'd be released. And in a millisecond of time, this could be over and I could be back on my throne and all of this could be behind me. But because of his love for you, he was not willing to do that. Amen? He said, because I love you, I'm going to go to the cross for you, because when you need me, I want you to be able to receive me as Lord and Savior. And when you receive me wholly as Lord and Savior and let me start leading your life, then you're going to walk in the blessing of the King. See, it's not good enough for us to let Jesus have part of our life. Oh, I got to dig deep for a minute. It's not good of us for us to let God be in charge when we want him in charge, or let him be in charge when things are going well, or let him be in charge when things are going just our way. We have to let him be in charge when things are tough. and when things are difficult, when things are hard in life, and when there's hard decisions to make, we've got to make sure that he's our foundation and that we trust in him and that we are always giving him our heart and our soul and letting him be the lead word in our life. Amen. That's what the Lord really needs for us to have a life that's going to be prepared by him, repaired by him, and ordered by him. That's when we start seeing the victory of the Lord come and us walk in a way that people don't understand. You know, the Bible said that in this life, there should be times where people come to you and they're amazed and they ask you, why do you have hope? What is it about you? What do you have in life that I don't have? And they ought to be able to see that you have Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they ought to be able to see Jesus in our life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about just what the Lord went through and just how much he was willing to go through for you and I, and just how much he loves us, and just how much he's willing to pay a price so you and I could have relationship with him. Amen? Wow. Hallelujah. Next week, we'll be looking at the resurrection of the Lord. Amen? Yes. And we'll be speaking and talking, and it will be good. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, God, that as we look back at the trials, the tribulation, Father, what it really took for you to go to the cross, God, Lord, we just declare your glory, Father. And I just thank you for your goodness today. And I thank you for your love that's poured out upon every person here and just poured out into this world, God, and into people today, Father, because you are an amazing God and you're a loving, caring God. And this morning, with every head closed and every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want to ask the question, is there someone here this morning that does not know the Lord? Someone here that's not saved, or someone here that is backslidden, or maybe you lived for God at one time, but you're currently not. If you're here and that's you, and you would like to be restored to the Lord today, I'd like for you to just quickly raise your hand. Quickly just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if there's someone watching us by live stream today, and you want to return to the Lord, then I'm just going to say a prayer quickly for you to just say with me so that you can have a relationship with the Lord. Just say this, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm in need of a Savior. I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. From this day forward, help me live the way you'd have me live. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. We have a couple prayer requests. First of all, we're going to pray for Keith. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put Keith before you, Lord God. And Father, we just ask you to release your healing power into him today, Father. Lord, touch him. Remove all pain, all sickness, Father. Remove everything from him, God. And God, we just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into him, God. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, Tabitha is asking for prayer. Aww. Father, we just put this dear grandbaby before you, Father. And Lord, we ask that Linnea would just be healed from pneumonia. God, whatever this virus and strep throat is, and possibly asthma, God, we just curse it at the very root. We command all of that to come out. We loose the working of miracles and healing, Father. And Lord, we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that she's made whole. And Lord, we just put Amy's request before you, Father. for Missy, who's in need of a transplant, God. And Father, we just pray, God, that this would open up, Lord, that the avenues would come to pass and she would receive what is needed, God. And Lord, we just pray over this and we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank you for being here with us today. And as you know, I'll be up here to pray with everybody that needs prayer. And we just want to thank you for being here. Remember Thursday, and then we'll see you next Sunday. Amen. Praise God. And don't forget tonight with Brother Chris D'Amico. It's going to be a good service.